All right. Well, good morning. Try that again. Good morning. All right. Thank you. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so glad that you're here today to celebrate Jesus and what He's done in your life. It's my hope and prayer that today that you will sense God's presence here in a way that helps to transform you and motivates you to get to know Him more and live your life for Him. We're in this message series called Jesus and We, and we're talking about what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a believer of Jesus, but a disciple is also someone who follows Jesus on the mission that He gave us to do as people who love Jesus. We're called to follow Him, but we're also called to help bring people into the kingdom of God. So a little bit about me. If you don't know, I grew up in a Christian home, wonderful Christian parents, went to Christian schools my whole life, and gave my life to Jesus when I was a young boy, probably 8 to 10 years old, somewhere in there. And like normal people, I got into high school and started to rebel a little bit, hanging around with the wrong crowd, and I did some really, really dumb things. But later on in my life, after I married Nancy, she helped straighten me out. And of course, we had some difficult circumstances in our life that led me to recommit my life to Jesus in 1990. And when that happened, God just lit a fire in me that I just couldn't help but share with other people about what God has done in my life. About that time, in about 1993, as a supervisor for waste management, they were going through some downsizing, and we just got news that we were going to be merging with another company in about 15 to 20 miles north of us. So I found out that I was going to be working with this man named Frank. Frank was a supervisor that worked at that division. I was a supervisor that worked at the other division. And when we merged, I found out that I was going to be working together with Frank. Now, Frank had heard a little bit about who I was. And so when we first got together, Frank made it very clear that he didn't want to hear any religious talk from me. He didn't want to hear anything about Jesus or the church or anything like that. So I had my work cut out for me, wondering how in the world I was going to make a connection with Frank, how I was going to show Frank that I loved him, that I cared about him, and that Jesus loved him and cared for him. I had to do it in a unique way, a different way. So, I spent a lot of time with Frank. We went out for lunch together. We spent time in the office talking together. In the beginning, I didn't talk about church or Jesus or anything. Everything was focused on getting to know Frank and his family, showing that I really cared. And you know, a funny thing happened in that time is I got to really care about Frank. I got to care about his family. It wasn't just about helping him to know about Jesus. It was about loving Frank and caring for Frank. Here's the thing. God calls us as disciples to care about people in our life like Frank. Who is it in your life? Who's that person? It may be someone just like Frank who says, hey, you know, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the church. I don't need to hear any of that stuff. So you have to start somewhere. Today we're going to talk about where to start, how to start. How do you make a connection with someone like that? I think it's important for us to recognize that if we're disciples, we're called to be on a mission of making more disciples. Remember, we talked about that. Jesus said that to disciples before He ascended into heaven. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you, as disciples, go and make more disciples. That's the mission that He gave us, to go and make disciples. So we're called to be missional people, people on a mission of making more disciples. The problem with the church and the problem with what we have grown to believe and do in the church is that missions is something that is separate from the church. It's separate from who we are. It's separate from our faith. It's sending money to a foreign missionary in Africa. Or it's a one-time mission event. Like last year, we did the water project to help build a well in Africa to provide water for that community. It's an event. But I want to tell you today that it's way more than just an event. It's way more than just sending money to a missionary. Because we are missionaries. We're not probably called to go to Africa, but we are called and sent to go right where we are. What does that look like? How do we do that? How do we invest in the lives of people around us? How do we begin to adapt into more of a missional lifestyle? Well, Paul shares a little bit about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He's talking a little bit about what it means to be a missionary as Paul himself. And then he goes on to explain it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. He says, I have become a servant of everyone so that I can bring them to Christ. When I'm with the Jews, I become one of them so that I can bring them to Christ. When I'm with those who follow the Jewish laws, I do the same, even though I'm not subject to the law, so that I can bring them to Christ. When I'm with the Gentiles, who do not have the Jewish law, I fit in with them as much as I can. In this way, I gain their confidence and bring them to Christ. I do not discard the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are oppressed, I share their oppression so that I might bring them to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone so that I might bring them to Christ. I do all this to spread the good news, and in doing so, I enjoy its blessings. Now, first of all, we need to understand what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying, I want to be a chameleon Christian. I want to blend in with the world and do the same things that the world does. Paul is not saying, I'm going to compromise my faith and do things that are against what biblical truth is all about. I'm not going to deny Jesus and do things just because other people are doing them. What Paul is saying is, I'm an ambassador who is sent into those places to represent Jesus to those people. Paul's not suggesting that we change our message to adapt to different people. He's saying we are the message, and we deliver the message in each and every one of those situations. Paul is reflecting what Jesus did in his life. Neither Jesus nor Paul had an inflexible evangelistic formula that was used in every situation. They adapted. They met with people. They shared Jesus with those people in tangible ways that they would understand. Paul says, I have become a servant of everyone so that I can bring them to Christ. Think about that. Did you hear that? I have become a servant to everyone so that I may bring them to Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle to be a servant to the people that I love, my family, my wife, my children, the people that know me, the people that I love the most. I struggle to be a servant to them. Paul's saying that not only that, I'm called to be a servant to everyone, to show them the love of Christ. Why? Because Paul genuinely loved people. You see, when you get to know Jesus, when Jesus is the most important thing in your life, you become more like Him. What happens is God's passion and love for people becomes contagious in you so that you have this incredible love for people, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, for family members, those who are disconnected from Jesus and the church. Paul says it this way to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but we shared our own lives with you too. You see the difference? So you can talk about loving people all you want, but if you really love them, you'll invest into their lives. Being a servant and loving others is about investing into other people's lives. So last week we talked about five missional habits, right? We talked about how, sharing our faith is a really difficult thing. So let's back up and start with easy baby steps. And so we shared missional things like blessing people, eating with people, listening to the Spirit, learning about Jesus from God's Word, and being sent to share. Today we're going to focus a little bit more on that last one, being sent to share. So the first few steps, again, are non-confrontational. And here's the first one. Share in listening to their story. Share in listening to their story. When you take time out to eat lunch or dinner with them, ask them questions about their life. Get to know them. Find out some of the things that have happened in their life. And I think that what you'll find is that people in sharing about their life, you'll think, wow, that's just amazing. I never knew that you went through that kind of thing. There's a common bond that happens when you listen to someone else's story. Ask them about their hobbies and interests. And like Paul, try to find that common interest. Try to find that one thing that you have in common so that you can have something to talk about. Listen to them with genuine love and care. See, here is one of the most important things that we need to know. People don't care how much you know about Jesus, about the church. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. See, we can't treat evangelism like some sort of a sales approach where we're just trying to get people connected so that we look good. It's not about that. It's about getting to know them. Spend time talking with them. Learning about their life. Paul says it this way again. I fit in with them the best I can so that I can gain their confidence. People will not care about anything you know about Jesus or the church unless they trust you. The only way they're going to get to trust you is if you build a relationship with them by showing them that you honestly care about them. I have become all things to all people so that I might possibly win some to Christ. That's why I always say that, you know, I don't think that I have the gift of evangelism. And there are certain people that do have that gift where they can just go and share the gospel with somebody and they get saved. I just can't do that. I'm not wired that way. And I would say that most of us aren't wired that way either. That's why, for me, the best approach is what I call relational evangelism. Right? It's discipleism. It's helping people become disciples by getting to know them. Right? And walking alongside of them. And that's what Paul did. He does everything that he can to get to know someone else, being led by God to hopefully have the opportunity to share with Christ, about Christ later on in their life. Today we're going to take some time and look at two different people from our church and share their story. Right now I'd ask if you'd turn your attention to the screen and watch this video of Dan Twigg as he shares his story.
I'll be gone, fire beneath my feet, burning bright. The way that I've been holding on so tight, there's nothing in between.
And it's just so hard sometimes, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what. It's like I'm taking it as a slow pace, you know? I'm living this all the time, you know? Stop to realize sometimes, like, that's all we do. You know, it's not like I go to the bar or nothing or, you know, or anything like that. It's just, I don't know how it got so strong. Well, we're called three-quarters Catholic, you know. We went to all the rituals and all the stuff, but we never did anything afterwards We'd only go for Christmas, and then it dwindled out, and I never got confirmed or anything like that. You know, it was just hit and miss. It was always like, this, you know, kind of the wild, loose child, you know. My parents would only want to know where I'm at, if I told them where I was going. And other than that, what I did after that, time and everything, I mean, they were really laid back parents, so I kind of took advantage of that as a kid. My dad pretty much lived at a bar, so that's the life I always rolled with him. I mean, we did a train one time, we were going up to the phone, and it was a kid's first time driving. We hopped in, and he had this giant cattle van. I was in the back, and there was no seats, right? So I'm just riding this in his back, and we're out by Lomore, and there's a spot in Lomore where you turn up the highway and you go down. There's all trees and the train tracks, and they were going to ram it, right? So, we're all stoned. Let's get some air, so we're hauling. And the train comes, and he locks them up. We're on gravel road. You can't just stop, right? We slid, and we hit the second train engine, bounced a little bit, and then he, panicked. I mean, the front end of this thing was mushed, So, he panicked, and the passenger had to put it in reverse, because he couldn't even put it in reverse, because the train car... The boxcar was coming out. It would have hit us and pulled us with it. But I went from the back of that van. I went in front watching this train go by. Like, it was crazy. But, I mean, yeah, it's a whole series of things like that in my life that we've done, and it was just unreal, But, like I said, there was no rules in my life. That's how it went. I don't want to be the cliche man, but, I mean, yeah, I've been to jail. I've done all that stuff. After a while, you kind of grow up. You need something more. You realize something's missing. Yeah. When I got married, we both needed something that we felt was missing. We went to church with her parents. It was a stand-up, sit-down routine. We were there, but it didn't feel right. Didn't feel connected. We had to move on, so we quit going to church for a long time. And they kept sending me the envelopes for money, but we just never went. So I felt like it was more like a money thing. They just wanted my money and didn't really care about us. We had our first child, Adria, and so... We went back to St. Anne's for a little while, but it was the same old thing, It just wasn't right. We started looking around for churches when we came here, and, she really liked the message, and I really was into the music. We kept going, and then after a while, listening to Doug's messages and stuff, that, we were able to plug him into our lifestyle, and the way the people treated us, it was like we were welcome home again. A lot of the music stuff helped out a lot to keep me plugged in. Life group, Mark Powers, pretty good. Lots of our friends. Jesus is the man. We come to rely on him a lot in our family. Anytime there's a problem, we do pray. Probably not every day and stuff like we're supposed to. I just see it as a work in progress. You got to start somewhere. And we moved a lot lately with her business and just to grow. And every time we've just kind of prayed on it, and it's worked in our life. Things just, you see miracles, things happen. And we used to joke at work, what'd you do this weekend? Everybody was like, work in church. And it's kind of weird that when I say it, it's actually kind of true. And I always feel like I don't know enough. So I like to see my brother, being able to interact with him, because he's got pretty strong faith, and it's just nice. I feel like I'm the wind blowing on his candle. I feel like I'm just... igniting that fire a little more, it's pretty cool.
Thanks for sharing, Dan. Appreciate that. Dan's story is similar to a lot of people's story. There's something missing, right? We feel that emptiness in life, and we don't have a sense of purpose. In all reality, what we're looking for is a place to belong. A place to be known by other people and loved. That's what church is all about. And that's what we try to do here at Northridge. Not that we're anything special, more special than other churches, but that's what people are looking for. And that's what we ought to be. That's what it means to be a disciple, someone who comes along someone else and helps encourage them and love them so that you can grow together in your faith. Ephesians 2:19, Paul says, we're no longer strangers or foreigners. We're citizens along with all of God's holy people, members of God's family. And that word family is actually the word household. In Greek, it's oikos. It's a family. We are a spiritual family. You see, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a spiritual family, a family that they can belong to, a family that can love them. Investing in taking time to listen to someone else's story developing a relationship with them is that first step of getting to know someone and helping them understand that they too can belong in the kingdom of God, into God's spiritual family. Here's another step that you can take, kind of a second little baby step. Share your story. Share your story. Share your story of how you came to know God personally in your life. So if you're practicing the Bell's missional habits of bless, eat, listen, learn, and be sent, then you're spending time praying, right, and asking God for the opportunity to share with another person what God has done in your life. Again, Colossians 4, 5 and 6, we've been talking about this the last couple weeks. It says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You see the formula there for Paul? He says, live a godly life, make the most of the opportunities that God gives you, and let your conversation with another person be filled with grace and love. If we intentionally do these things, God will help us know how to answer someone who asks us about our life, our story. So, we have a lot of stories of what God has done in our lives. So it's not just important to share how you have come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can share other stories about what God has done in your life as well. But there's four basic parts to your God story. If you have your outline, I've listed them in there as well so you can see them. It's what my life was like before I met Jesus. How did I realize that I needed Jesus? How did I commit my life to Jesus? And what difference has Jesus made in my life? Now, here's what I get from most people when I tell them to share their story with other people. Oh, Pastor Doug, I really don't have a dramatic, life-saving rescue story about how God came into my life. Matter of fact, I've been a Christian my whole life. I can't really even identify where God has turned the light bulb on and come into my life and the fact that I actually surrendered my life to Him. Isn't that a story in itself? Isn't that a story of God's incredible grace in your life? You see, we all have a story to share. No matter what, it is a dramatic story. It's how God has touched your life. And the most important thing that you can know is that it's your story. It's personal. And so sharing that story is going to be powerful and effective. It doesn't have to be dramatic. So at this time, I'm going to ask Kurt if Kurt would come forward. He's going to share with us a little bit about his life and share about his experience with coming to know God as his Savior too. So Kurt is currently an elder here, and I'm really excited for you to hear his story. So Kurt, tell me a little bit about what your faith and life were like growing up.
So my life was pretty similar to yours. As long as I can remember, I remember going to church in an RCA church twice on Sunday, right? Very, very regimented, right? I never had the option to not go to Sunday night service. Grew up in a Christian home. Great Christian parents, good example. I remember even for a short time, my parents were like volunteer custodians of the church. So from a very young age, I was a part of serving, and you know, that's made a big impact. So very similar to yours.
Do you remember a specific time in your life where you gave your life to Jesus and surrendered?
Yeah. The church had a program that was typically, you know, something a high school kid did to do profession of faith and go through and answer some questions. Looking back on it now, I realized I didn't really understand what I was answering when I answered questions, but I knew all the answers to the questions. I could pass any faith question test you could give me, but didn't really have a true understanding of what a relationship with Christ meant.
What grade were you in?
I was a freshman.
Freshman in
high school? Yeah,
because I can remember the same thing in my life. That there was always this, you needed to make profession of faith by the time you graduated from high school thing. And again, I could rattle off all the right answers. My faith was in here. I knew all the right things to say. It just hadn't moved into my heart. So talk a little bit about your faith struggle. What were some of the things that you wrestled with in regards to your faith?
So I was very legalistic. I compartmentalized my faith pretty big time. I would do church on Sunday twice, youth group on Wednesday, but in between it was kind of just anything goes. And I wasn't a bad kid, but I hung around with a group of kids that weren't really the best for my spiritual growth. And again, I didn't go to jail or anything like that, but I was very arrogant, very focused on possessions, very focused on worldly things that gave me my value.
Mm-hmm. What happened to help you realize that you needed to change and really commit to an authentic relationship with Christ, or when did it go from your head to your heart?
So shortly after getting married, Amber, my wife, and I moved to Eldridge, from Fulton to Eldridge, and started coming to Northridge and got hooked up with a couple that I guess modeled what it looked like to have a relationship with Christ and what it meant to be a married couple in a relationship with Christ. And I think just seeing, hey, here's another couple in our stage of life, they're our age, mm-hmm. They're going through all the same struggles that we are, but it looks so much different, right? There's something is so much different. We wanted that. That was really the catalyst, how different those two married lives were.
So you made the choice to invest into a connect group or a life group, a small group, and that made a big difference in your life. Why make room in your life for that kind of thing?
Well, to be honest, at first it just felt like something we should do, right? It was that legalistic, like if we're going to be a part of this church, we should probably do something, right? Honestly, that's what it was. But again, you get in this small community of a connect group and you see other couples that are in the same stage of life and going through all the same struggles, but again, they're handling it different. They're living it out different, and we wanted it. It was obvious it was something we wanted.
So talk a little bit about the difference that Jesus has made in your life. How has he helped to transform your heart?
Well, it's ongoing, right? I mean, I want to make sure everybody knows it's not like a finished project, or not like a finished thing yet. But I think the biggest thing is it's not about me. It's not about my family. It's about others, right? Jesus has really come into my life and said, you need to love people. You need to be relational, know people. Be my hands and feet. And I think that's the biggest piece, is that the arrogance, that focus on what I want and what I need, and, you know, I got this 70-inch TV that's going to bring me value, that went away. Jesus took that away. It's not about me anymore.
Talk about what God has in store for your future.
Well, I hope he's got a lot of good things in store, right? I think that's what everybody says, right? But
a lot of people will say, you know, how do I find God's will for my life? How do I know what God is calling me to do? How would you answer that? And what specifically is God doing in you?
So pray a lot, and connect with your friends, connect with your connect group, connect with the people that are close to you, that know you, that you pray with, that you live with. God uses those people around you to affirm or, you know, no, that isn't the way, you know, that we think God's got you going. But I lost my train of thought, Doug.
Yeah.
This happens.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. So how would you say the difference in spending time reading God's Word and praying has been transformed in your life from early on when you were a little bit more legalistic until now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's not a set of rules anymore, right? It goes from a set of rules that I would oftentimes beat myself up over, right? Spend time in God's Word, pray, I missed the mark again, right? I sinned again, or I did this, and God's not going to be happy about that. Almost a guilt, right? You beat yourself up a little bit. Now, it's a known thing that I'm going to fail, right? And there's grace and there's mercy. And that really enables me to grow, enables me to connect with Christ more. getting past that guilt.
So would you say that early on it was more about religion and now it's more about a relationship?
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
So tell me a little bit about what God has in store for your future.
So starting this fall, I'm going to start seminary at Western Seminary in Holland, Michigan. It's very exciting, but it's very scary at the same time. Like sometimes it makes me nauseous thinking about it, too. Let's be real.
So Kurt is taking kind of the same path that I took. It was a second career for me and decided to quit my job at Waste Management and go to seminary. And so Kurt's basically doing the same thing. So we need to make sure that we love and encourage Kurt and Amber and their family and support them in prayer as they go into this process, because the next 4 to 5 years are going to be an incredibly scary adventure. I know that for sure. One last thing. How can you challenge the spiritual family here at Northridge to be a disciple on God's mission to make more disciples here in the North Scott community?
I guess the challenge is pray about it. Pray for God to open up opportunities for you to have a conversation where you're at, right? Doug mentioned it earlier, you know, not everybody gets sent to Africa, right? We're where we're at right now because God wants us there. I went through a point where I wanted to be in a ministry position. I didn't feel like I was doing what I needed to do for God, and I was missing opportunities, right? I was missing opportunities every day. So that's, I guess, my challenge would be, don't miss those opportunities. God's got you where you're at for a reason. You know, get to know people, love people, talk to people, share your story with people. Don't miss those opportunities, and pray expectantly that God is going to give you those opportunities. It's a challenge for sure, and it's scary, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I would say that it is very risky, but I think that in the process, we grow a little bit too as well. So well, let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for Kurt. Thank you for the call that you've placed in his life. God, I pray that your Spirit would fill him and empower him. Give him wisdom. Give him discernment. Give him a faith that grows stronger each and every day so that he knows that you're with him and he can follow you in the call that you've placed on his life. Lord, we pray for Amber too and their family. Watch over them. Protect them as they go through this journey. And use him, Lord. Use them in mighty ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So share your story. You have a story to tell. Kurt's story is, you know, a story about growing up in a Christian family. There's nothing, there was no lightning, there was no, you know, special thing that happened. It's just how God worked in his life. And that's the story that he has to share. And our stories are powerful. So here's the last step. Once you get into this journey with other people and you get to know them and you have their confidence and their trust, then you can begin to share God's story. 1 Peter 3:15, remember we talked about this. Be ready at all times to answer anyone to explain the hope that you have. And here's the most important part. Do it with gentleness and respect. So I want to take a minute to share with you the gospel. Remember, we talk about this on a regular basis. And so if you have it on your outline, you can fill this in. This is something that you can, again, remind yourself and learn for yourself so that someday you can share it with other people. The G is God created us to live in community with him. So in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. God lived in community with himself, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He created us to live in community with him and with each other. The problem is our sins separate us from God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God put them out of the garden and blocked them from going in. It was a symbol of how sin separates us from God. It's destructive. And the Bible says that because of our sin, it leads to death. Sins, the next one, cannot be removed by good deeds. No matter how hard you try, you cannot achieve God's perfect holy standard. That's why we need Jesus. Nothing we do can help us erase our sin and become good people. That's where the P comes in. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection that provides us with forgiveness for our sins and the righteousness, the holiness, the perfection that we need to be in heaven. And then E, everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life. So eternal life is God's gift to us when we express our faith and trust in Him. Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live again. And then the L in gospel. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. The beautiful thing is that once you have given your life, surrendered your life to Jesus, that concept of living in the kingdom here and now happens. You have eternal life. No one can take it away from you. It begins now and it lasts forever. It won't be complete until we get to heaven. And that's the good news. And briefly, I wish I had more time to share on that today, but you can go through that and think about those things. If you want to talk through those with somebody, come and call the office here. We'll try to connect you with a leader that can help you to learn that a little bit deeper. So here's the challenge for you today. Learn and apply the gospel in your life every day. Learn and apply the gospel in your life every day. Secondly, share the good news of the gospel with other people every day. By the way you live, by the words you use, by the way you live your life. God calls us to share the good news as believers. We're called to share it by the way we live and verbally with our mouths. There's someone in your family. There's someone at work. There's someone in your school. There's someone in your community that God is sending you to. Someone to share life with. Someone like Frank. You want to know the best thing about my relationship with Frank? Frank never did accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But as I reflect back on that moment, that time that I had, that God ordained for me to spend with Frank, I noticed something incredibly different about me. You see, I believe that in the process of sharing my life and my faith with Frank, that God helped me to grow. Isn't that funny how that happens? I think that that's part of God's design. That when we invest in being on a mission to make disciples, that in that process of trying to go and make disciples, sharing our lives with other people, sharing the good news with them, that God transforms our heart and changes us in the process. So maybe God is calling you to make that connection with someone. Someone at work, someone in your community, someone in your family, someone at school. Start praying about who that person might be. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be called and to share the gospel, to be disciples who make disciples. God, it's a scary thing. And we come to you today and say that we have failed on so many different levels when it comes to sharing our faith. We pray that your Spirit would fill us, you would encourage us, help us to find that person that we need to begin sharing life with the intention of helping them to know you and to live for you. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we have the opportunity to hear another story, and that's the story of a young man named Nick Jameson. So Nick, if you're here, if you could come forward at this time. Nick is coming to proclaim before all of you that he loves and believes in Jesus with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. And Nick's parents, Dan and Brenda, and his sister Dana are here as well. So thank you for being here. Nick is a senior at North Scott High School, and he will be pursuing a bachelor's degree in Agricultural Systems Technology program at Iowa State University. That's right. Nick and his family have been involved in Northridge since we started way back in 2006. Matter of fact, they were involved in the church before that I even came here in 2006. They met together in the bank basement at U.S. Bank in Eldridge and prayed and strategized on how we could build a church that would be relevant in this community. And Nick was a part of that.
Nick has been very active in local agriculture through 4-H and FFA, and currently serves as 4-H's club president.
President.
So I will now refer to him as Mr. President. Over the years, projects have included equipment restoration, showing cattle, and even baking pies. He hasn't shared that one with the youth group yet. Nick currently works two part-time jobs. He works in all aspects of hog production for a local farmer and maintains a 40-acre wooded property for a neighbor. When not working, he enjoys hanging out with friends, spending time wrenching on anything mechanical.
Awesome. Good job. Nick, before all of these people, before your family and before God, we have some questions for you to answer. First, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you affirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that the Bible is God's word and only authority for your faith and life? Do you believe that your relationship with God and others is flawed because of sin, and that Jesus came to bring redemption to restore those relationships? And do you believe by faith that Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross paid for your sins, and that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to become a Christian and receive eternal life? If so, answer, I do.
Nick, in professing your faith in Jesus Christ today, you also become a member of the spiritual body of Christ here at Northridge. You're entering a covenant promise to God with the spiritual family here and committing to be an MVP by being actively involved with us in the mission, vision, and purpose that God has called us to. An MVP promises to faithfully participate in three essential components in the life of God's church: celebrate, connect, and contribute. Celebrate is the love of God and His work in our lives by consistently gathering in worship and fellowship. Connect by investing in a community, building an environment that will help you grow in your faith. And contribute by discovering and using your spiritual gifts, talents, passions, and resources to help multiply God's kingdom.
So again, Nick, before God and all these people, will you answer these questions? Will you promise to invest yourself in celebrating through faithful worship, accountable Christian relationships, and prayer? Will you promise to connect into the life of the church by investing in the ministries and fellowship opportunities, growing closer to God and others? Will you promise to contribute by committing to serve the Lord and others by using your spiritual gifts and resources to build the kingdom of God? And will you promise to protect the unity of the church, being an authentic witness for Jesus in the church by loving others and respecting the vision, mission, and purpose that the Lord has called us to? If so, answer, I will, with the Lord's help.
Northridge Community Church, you too, as a church family, get to make a promise to God and Nick in becoming a new member. Will you renew your commitment to faith in Jesus Christ and your promise to faithfully celebrate, connect, and contribute to His mission through the church? And will you promise to love, encourage, and support Nick in fellowship, prayer, and service, even if you're a Hawkeye fan? If so, answer, we will, with the Lord's help.
Let's pray for Nick. God, I thank you for Nick. I thank you for his life that's already been an example of how to serve you and how to love you. We thank you, Lord, that in his heart now he wants to surrender all of his life to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill him with your Spirit in a way that empowers him, encourages him to live the Christian life. Lord, use him as your servant, a disciple who will go out into this world and make disciples for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Nick.